3, 2, 1.
You're so smart.
Have we been live?
Matt, you're so smart. I've no idea and I don't care. Welcome to the main tanks list. It's the greatest of all time for Overwatch 1.
I messed up my rankings. They're
main
so bad.
Tanks.
I messed them up so bad.
What?
So did I.
Oh my god. I'm sorry.
What?
I put Smurf way too low. I'm so sorry.
Wait, what do you mean you put Smurf way too low?
Immediately. I put Smurf too low.
Oh, okay.
I actually had an argument for putting Custa on the support list. I tried to get you on this one, Johnny, but I just couldn't.
There's no way.
Saying you rate Miro higher than me?
Yes.
How dare you? Unbelievable.
He was the only player ever invited to the combine.
That's true. That is a massive accomplishment.
Think about that one.
When they run the combine for Overwatch 2, Miro's going to be the only
auto invite. Yeah.
And he's a coach.
He's still technically in the league as a coach. So yeah. He's still there.
Exactly. We got his invite printed out. He's ready to go at any moment.
Miro's career took a turn for the worse after the combine. Someone should look into what happened at that combine because it changed the trajectory of Miro's career.
I thought about putting the Taimu tank on here.
No, you didn't.
You can't.
Right, no, you didn't. Kong, Ryuji Kong.
You actually can't think. You literally didn't think about that. You're just trolling.
I did.
That's not true. You simply didn't. No. There was a
for
bit.
They had XQC on my list.
No, you didn't. I mean,
XQC was great. I was going to save this for the end of the episode. XQC was one of the most promising, talented main tanks in Overwatch history. And if you disagree, you're just being ignorant.
No.
When he was at his peak, he was fucking sick, dude.
He was good. He was promising. His career was about this long, and there's way more people that you would put on the top 15. There's no way he would even sniff the list.
I didn't put him on mine. I'm just saying.
This is
sick.
Actual
start the episode. Start the episode.
Okay, all right. All
Vast
right.
only has a few minutes you left on his cell, on his call.
An indeterminate sentence. Let's get it started.
Let's take a look at what we have fucked up this week.
No, we haven't fucked up anything. I actually found this one to be on par for me in terms of like ease to make as like the main support.
Really? Because I found this one quite difficult.
I found the top 10 to be relatively simple for me, but once I got beyond the top 10, which the ones that aren't directly in the list, like the 10 to 15 range, maybe a little bit lower, maybe like the 7 to 15, like that's when it was pretty hard. But like the top like 1 to 7 or so, I found to be relatively simple. I found to be hard.
I had some fun towards the end.
Oh, you're an absolute menace. You're an absolute menace. Okay, Kurt, who do we have in number 10? I'm desperate to see what has gone wrong here. Can we unveil the first list? Let's have a look. Number 10, greatest of all time main tank.
Yeah. Whoa. Okay.
Daga. Okay. Gets in there at number 10. Yeah. Put Chinese Overwatch back on the map. He was one of the best in 2021 on ball and had the flexibility to change the game, says Sideshow. Intelligent guy. obviously only had one year with the Overwatch League, but did have, I mean, they won the gauntlet. And to me, one of the reasons that I actually had him on the list, even though, you know, obviously he's got to be towards the bottom because his career just wasn't long at all, was that it was a successful season and it really was a bit of a paradigm shift for Chinese Overwatch. They haven't had a main tank that they could rely on.
Did you guys have him in your top 10?
Yes.
I had him just at 10th. He squeaked on.
I had him at like, I think 9 or 10, somewhere around there, because his career in Contenders was really, really good. And his season in Overwatch League was also very good and a very competitive season. Like, I think,
yeah, I agree.
Like Josh said, that he was like the paradigm shift for Chinese. Like, anyone remember when Chinese Overwatch was like Perma Roadhog? You remember those days? Like, that region used to be unbelievable, Silly Champ. Like, literally unbelievable. And so Gaga, Gaga actually kind of redefined China in some ways.
I had him at 14. I have him at 14.
Kind of disrespecting Gushue here a little bit.
I mean, Gushue. Paradigm shift. Don't get me wrong. I mean, Gushue
changed the course of Chinese Overwatch. They literally had a main tank who was nicknamed the Primal Blade.
But I'm gonna be honest. I don't think Gushue's flexibility is as good as Gaga's. So, in my personal opinion, I think
Gushue was a really good main tank for like 2-3 years for China.
Yeah, Gushue was good, but also Gushue didn't play on a primarily Chinese team, so it doesn't really, you know, he wasn't.
So did Gushue fucking pick his team?
Entire contribution to the Chinese Overwatch team.
It's not, it has nothing to do with just only Gouzhway, though. I'm simply saying that, like, Gouzhway also still was mostly known for Winston and a pretty, like, one-dimensional style, in my opinion, in the way that they played. Gaga allowed you to have a flexible main tank to where you could play a breadth of styles, which Chinese Overwatch really did not have.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I put Gaga at number 12. The main reason was that, like, his career was relatively short, but I didn't want to dismiss the success he had in Contenders and also his versatility. His versatility is fantastic. It's a rarity, so I put him number 12.
I'm excited to see him at 10, because when I look at my list, I'm excited to see what the hell is going to happen for the rest of this.
I can already know that something is off the fucking goop already.
I love how this series was supposed to be like a commemoration Overwatch 1, and we just fucked it up at every
turn. No, the average is pretty reasonable.
No, you guys are pessimistic.
Be optimists. We're doing great.
Yeah.
I think the average, our collated top 10 on average has been pretty good. It's not been like amazing, but it's been pretty good.
It's the individual ones that always have some weird stuff in, but they're collaborated
egregious.
Ones.
Yeah, they're egregious.
The collaborated ones
that's
tend
why
to be
we
okay.
have society underscore bottom text moment where we put everyone to a mold to make the top 10 and we all come out cookie cutter human beings. So it's perfect.
Exactly. We all have community approved opinions.
Number 9.
Yep, let's get into number 9.
Oh my God.
Matt desperately wants to see whether Miro made the top 5. Let's see. Number 9. Who have we got in here? It's Fissure. Yo.
Oh, that's...
Okay.
I had Fissure at 9 as well.
So Fissure at number 9. Okay, so Avast says, one of the flashiest and highest impact players while also having a very solid hero pool. The true main tank villain.
I had him for a bit in my top 5, and then I
started... Top 5, I think, is a little high. I think... But I actually had him a little bit higher than 9 in my list, but I do... But realistically, it was hard to judge him because he didn't play last year of Overwatch League. He had like limited moments even before that. So, but when he was playing consistently, and also when you take his time pre-Overwatch League 2, the guy was just a beast. He was a beast. His hero pool was good. He was also one of the first players alongside Aiming to really show like how good Ball could be at the Overwatch League level, and show how stupid that character is and dumb. And so like, I do think that like overall, he's a player that when you talk about main tank a lot, you have to think about not only like so many, it's sort of like main support where he's like, how good is their team and enabling them to do things? Like, how do they actually get to show their individual performance? And Fissure was someone that showed often his impact, his own personal impact in the server, which is on a role that's hard to do without the proper team support. And I think that's really important when we think about main tanks is moving forward is just like, how do you feel their individual impact in the game? And Fissure was a player that you could do that a lot.
I forgot about these ESPN top 5 place things. So sports
for me, he's like one of like the biggest, I think, like what ifs, because like he was so good, obviously couldn't end up like staying on a team for very long after really, you know, kind of the Gladiator stint, but like he was incredible when he was on the Gladiators. I mean, that team was like not very good before he joined. Like they were like what, maybe like bottom to middle of the pack in that season one, and then when he joined they kind of like shot up the standings and he was like an MVP candidate. Like you just wonder if he ever got in the right situation again what he could actually do.
Yeah, it's a bit of a shame. Like if he had played that, there was a playoff series, right, 2019 when he stopped playing
because of Gladiators didn't play.
Yeah, he had something with the practice wasn't going his way, and so he essentially recused himself, and they started playing someone else in his place.
A remix
in the 2019 playoffs, which was a damn shame because like that was a good team, you know.
The 2019 third seed, right? Roster.
Didn't even play that bad during the playoffs either. It's just he wasn't Fissure.
Yeah, but like Fissure was like an extraordinary main tank at the time, and they dearly missed his presence, you know. However much you rate iRemix, probably in Matt's top 15, I mean, he wasn't Fissure, so he certainly contributed.
No. He didn't make the list. He didn't make the list.
Fissure went off the deep end. At some point late in his career, it was like he just loved getting like publicity and like fed on like Reddit drama. Remember how he leaked the hero pools when he was on Seoul just to get like clout? He was like, oh yeah, I retired, so I don't have a contract anymore, and so I guess I can leak this now. And I'm like, well, dude, this guy went crazy. I don't know. It was the closest to like a sports player we had that just like changed the way.
It was like Antonio Brown. He like took his jersey off at halftime and just ran off the field.
Dude, it was crazy. Fisher was legit good. And then he was just like, yeah, I'm going to stir up a bunch of Reddit drama and like rumors out there. And like, you know, maybe I'll join a team. Maybe I won't join a team.
And then he went out with the Vancouver Titans with like not even get to play. Like,
oh my God. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Like, that's like the worst part of it all is that like he literally could have, like, we could have seen maybe Fisher like have a great end of the career or a continuous career. And then he went to the Titans and they just like shat in the bed. Just shat all over the bed, poo everywhere, and destroyed that whole thing. So,
yeah, sad. Love to see that. Great organization.
I don't think they had toilets in that Vancouver Titans facility. So, what are they going to do?
No. Use the bed.
Incredible comment. All right. So, we've had at number 10, a player with a short career towards the end of the game. Then, at number 9, a player with a career that was primarily towards the beginning of the game. Where, what direction is this going to go into? Let's take a look at number 8. I want to see whether we've got Jonathan Reinforce Larson somewhere around here.
Yeah, where is Reinforce?
Okay, so we've got Gushue at number 8. The Primal Blade, says Jonathan. Gushue demanded a seat at the table on behalf of China and was a reliable cornerstone for Hangzhou.
This is the first time like China was non-silly champ, as Avast would say, like here. I feel like Gushue... I have him about here on my list. I had him 7.
Matt took my silly stick. I'm very upset.
I agree with Johnny's take.
Matt, you know, was Matt not here when we established the rules?
No, he wasn't. Well, and he doesn't watch Blackjet either.
No, it's all right.
Sure the ad revenue hits the account. Yeah, I don't watch.
Jonathan, why are you so high on Gushue being like in this position, you know, when you're contrasting his position as the foremost Chinese main tank, as we have him on this list?
I mean, I think his tenure is just like longer than Gaga. I think, you know, if Gaga and Gushue had played at the same amount of time, I certainly would have rated Gaga higher. But the fact that Gushue has been around for quite some time, I think his first World Cup was 2017. Am I correct? And that's where he like really made his name for himself with the Winston.
Definitely wasn't 2017. I'm pretty sure it was like 2018.
It probably was 2018. We did the World Cup desk in 2018, right? And that when China had that big run.
Yeah.
And Gushue, I mean, he was fantastic with the Winston. Of course, Primal Blade was born as a meme back then because he was so sick with it and dealt so much damage. And overall, I mean, even Goat's Meta, like we see here, Hangzhou Spark was a pretty good team back then. And I think Gushue, he clear the hurdles, you know, like what was you needed from a respectable main tank at the time. And so I think he checked all the boxes, and he was China's best main tank for a few years until Gaga joined the scene.
Well, he might be.
I put him number 8. I put Gushue number 8 because I think he's a respectable main tank with a good tenure, and he's had some very good peak moments on both Winston and Ryan.
He still might be China's best main tank. With the teams Hangzhou's been putting out there, you'd have no idea.
Did you watch all this last year? I don't know if you did, Matt.
Hangzhou? Yeah, I watched a little bit.
Do you know who Gaga is?
Yeah, I know who Gaga is. what is this guy? This guy is unbelievable. You know, he's on the desk for, 2 seasons, and then he thinks he's a genius?
I know. I love it, actually. I think it's fucking funny. Really, Jonathan's coming to this attitude.
I don't have Gushue this high, by the way.
I publicized all that Justice for Reinforce stuff for free. They'll try and get him back, and then this is how he repays. Unbelievable.
Connor, tell us about why you don't have Gushue this high.
I think he is essentially coasting off of essentially being the first Chinese main tank to not be so incredibly silly. It made you be like, what the fuck's going on? Now, his Winston mechanics were legendary. I think that is a point to say, like, yeah, he had a really, really good Winston. I think his time in GOATS was solid. I don't think he was anything special during GOATS, honestly. And I think ever since then, especially, but part of it is because Spark has been an absolute dumpster fire of an organization since then with like their team management. So it is hard one of these times, but even when you watch his individual play, I don't think he's as flexible as Gaga. I don't think he's had his mechanics have really kept up other than Winston really at all. So I think he's a player that's like pretty good, probably has left in the tank to like have a resurgence for Overwatch 2 because his mechanics on Winston were so good. But when it comes to like Overwatch 1, I felt like Gaga kind of outstripped him pretty heavily towards the end of the career. But also, it is hard sometimes to judge if your team is a fucking dumpster fire and you're playing main tank and you're not getting like the support you need.
Yeah.
But and even also, so, I just don't feel like he's kept up to quite as much as Gaga. But he was revolutionary for his time, like for Chinese Overwatch in the first part of his career.
He was, yeah. And the only point where I would disagree with you is, honestly, I was impressed with his 2019 year. That's the biggest reason that I do have him at this kind of place on the list. Because I agree with the rest of it, man. I mean, the 2020 and 2021 season were pretty poor. How much of that is down to him? But I liked how he played in 2019. I thought, you know, for a guy that's primarily known as a Winston, you know, Primal Blade, it's all about his Winston mechanics. He needs his Primal Rage kind of shit. I mean, he played like a full season of just being on Ryan, and he improved, not even improved, but like just fell into that role and looked good as soon as he was required to step up, especially considering like the language issues and the communication barriers that he had to deal with. I'm happy to give this guy pretty heavy benefit of the doubt because he's been in a tougher playing situation than most people. So yeah, I think this is a fairly reasonable place to have the guy. And let's move on to number 7, shall we? Let's take a look. Who have we got just above Gushue on our top 10 ranking list? At number 7, we have Sado. Fresh out of boosting jail, Sado got to the 2018 Grand Finals on Orisa. After a rough 2019, his 2020 bounce back was elite. That's from me. And yeah, I put Sado at this kind of point. Primarily, I mean, the major reason is because of that 2020 year. I think, you know, he showed some good stuff in 2018, but it wasn't really enough because he didn't play for the entirety of the year. He was in that, like, your problem with boosting, so he got banned for like 30 fucking games or something.
Fucking insane, yeah. Absolutely thinking about it now.
Mad. Absolutely mad. That would be like 2 seasons at this point.
He'd be banned till like Overwatch 5. Like, who the hell knows? Like,
yeah, but I mean, getting to the Grand Finals and then having a spectacular year in 2020, I think puts you fairly high on the list.
Yeah. I think it's completely very fair. I think it's around where I had him. I definitely the type of player that you feel confident that he's going to be fine on the variety of main tank heroes that he plays, and also is flashy on Winston. You know, so like it's someone that's flashy on Winston, pretty well rounded. I don't think I've, like, obviously there's been times where I feel like Sado has looked poor, but there's been plenty of times where he's looked great. So it's just a player that has had some excellent moments, some bad moments, and I think overall when you take a look at his whole career is towards the bottom of, like, the top 10. Just, like, a very pretty solid, consistent player that is not necessarily going to set, like, the world on fire, but is going to have moments where he is very, very strong.
Yeah, he's never, like, I think outside of like some moments early on, like really is kind of like 2020. He was sick the first season. I mean, it's a little bit of a wash because he's just gone for so long. But like, I think he probably would have had a really good first season, barring like if he was able to actually play for most of it, probably would have helped Philly a ton. I had him about this on my list as well. I had him 8 on mine, so a little bit higher. But I think, even when you just look at him, like, just insanely talented in terms of individual skill.
His Winston in Winston Goats was actually pretty decent, too. It's just that his Ryan was so out of sync with the rest of the team.
You deserve some props, Aicho. I mean, you stuck with him until the start of the 2020 season. You know, that's what I kind of remember.
Stick with him.
Yep. I was high on the Sado stunks, and then I sold at the end of 2020 because you're not going to have a better season than that. And yeah, we won't mention the Toronto Defiant. They're in the Toronto Defiant's organization is in the realms of the Vancouver Titans and the Washington Justice, where they only get brought up on these kind of shows to say good player went to die there.
That's a little unfair to the Defiant to put them in the same tier as the Titans. That's a little unfair to Defiant. Like, it just a bit. I could see maybe Justice, but not the Titans.
He had a pretty decent year, but then you go look at the stats, and he's like one of the most pocketed main tanks in the entire league. So it's like good team, good player, bad team kind of vibes, where just pockets auto, and you know he frags out a bit because that's where the resources go. You know,
sure. Right. Well, if we got Sano at number 7, let's take a look at who we got at number 6.
This is where it gets silly.
This is where it gets silly. I mean, I think the players here are very obvious. The order is not. And here we go.
I'm already mad. We've got Mano
at number 6 of our greatest of all-time main tanks. One of the OGs, says Bren, with countless achievements. Also had a comeback with his play on Philly in 2021. Avast, what are you molding about here?
I'm mad because I know the player that's above him now, and I'm not happy about it.
How did he end up in 6th?
This is like, okay, so I don't think he should be number 6. I think he should be within the top 5.
I had him 4.
I think he should be. But I will say six is not the most unreasonable, but I just know the player that's going to be above him now, and it makes me mad because Mono has been a consistently good player in the Overwatch League. Like, literally, but beyond just consistently good, he's well-rounded, he's impactful, he's, like, the definition of, like, the main tank that, like, he normally just doesn't feed, he has good plays, great space making, like, it's just overall, like, a great, great, great player. It's like, someone that you can be happy with to have on your team at all times, and you'll get a top-tier performance. Like, yeah, you're not necessarily going to get, like, amazing standout, like, incredible performances all the time from him, but you're always going to get great performances from him on a variety of heroes and a variety of tank heroes. So, like, he's just someone that you can be happy with to have in a franchise. Like, I think he's a top five just because of how unbelievably consistently good he is.
Do you think... Sorry, I just want to ask a question, and then I'll let you go, Johnny. From 2017 to 2019, do you think if Overwatch was only that period of time, do you think he would have just been the GOAT? Because there was a lot of conversation, even at the end of 2019, about Mano being just the best main tank. Because
the problem is he would have had to compete with Smurf still, potentially.
Yeah, but Smurf hadn't actually won anything until the very end of 2019.
Smurf barely played 2019.
Oh, I guess that's true. Yeah, Super played the whole time. Then, yeah, actually, probably Mano would have been probably the GOAT at that time, now that I think about it. It probably would have been like Mono, Super, maybe. But yeah, Mono, but Mono
maybe like
more than this.
Gesture
would have
had an argument or something.
Yeah, Gesture potentially would have had an argument, but I think it probably would have been like Mono still.
Did anybody have him lower than this?
I had him higher for all the reasons I've asked listed.
Yeah.
Incredibly solid. Like, if you ask, like, what do you want out of a main tank on your roster? Like, Mono checks all the boxes. Great versatility, consistency, calm, composed playstyle, like, doesn't demand all the resources. He's everything you want. And to Sideshow's question, like, he was really good in both 2018 and 2019. I think people forget sometimes, like, how good he was on Reinhardt in that GOATs meta. The shameful thing about 2017 is that he was really good on AF Blue, and then he got picked up by LW Blue, and, like, people lost their shit. Yeah. And then, like, we've addressed previously, like, he didn't play Apex Season 4. That season where GC Busan won with Profit, and I think Runaway had a really good team season four. They played in the finals, right?
Yep. Bumper was in the finals.
Yeah. So it's a bit of a shame we didn't get to see him that Apex Season 4. I think if he had made like top three that tournament, his career achievement, like his list of accolades, would have looked a lot cleaner, because he would have essentially had like 3 years of really good dominance in the main tank role. He was still good in 2020. I gave him some bonus points because he was just like such a beloved figure, especially for his tenure on New York. I went back and looked at some of the threads where like he was released by New York. And I think Overwatch might have legitimately lost viewers because Mono left New York. Like, people were in shambles. Like, they were... There was so much sadness going through those comments. Like, New York fans were like in disbelief. So I gotta give him some bonus points for that. The fact that he was so beloved by that New York community and such a cornerstone for that team, alongside being a fantastic main tank. So I had him a bit higher because of that. But yeah, I think top five for sure.
It's had to be Bren having him like
something had to happen here. I don't know.
Yeah, Bren had to have him like. Bren had him at eight.
That's
is egregious.
That's pretty low. That's pretty low.
That's worse than me having cussed the top 10
Did. One of the other things that happened is if we have different orders for the people above, you know, and like.
Yeah, that also.
That will bring all of their rankings upwards.
Well, if you put him higher up, he gets more points and he's higher. Now he's sixth. So.
Yes. Okay. The next player only had one more point than Mono.
Okay. Oh, I know
somebody
it is, dude. I'm
one more point. Okay, well, let's see if Avast is correct.
Number
let's move on.
Five.
Let's move on to our number five.
If he's any higher than this, I'm gonna ape out.
Number five, it is Gesture.
Yeah,
there it is.
Gesture is the most underrated player on this list, says Reinforce.
Five? What?
But that was his own list, presumably. Phenomenal Winston, playoff-changing Orisa in 2018, and Roadhog in 2020. Go on, Reinforce, tell me, why is he the most underrated player on the list?
I think people, to say it like Bren would, I think people consider Gesture to be a bit Jay silly at times, you know? Like, he's a goofball, you know, he does funny walkouts, he bites into lemons, you know, his flower shop story that Bren conjured up for some reason, like, oh, he's the funny main tank, you know, he's a bit silly, and... I think people think back a lot to his Reinhardt in 2019. That was like absolute garbage. It was horse shit. It was some of the worst Reinhardt gameplay I've ever seen in my life. And I'll be the first one to say.
Making a great argument.
I'm just prefacing prefacing the entire argument, okay? But that beside, okay, that beside, this guy has genuinely been fantastic at so many heroes and come in clutch at crucial moments for his teams, okay? Even starting back to that Apex Season 4 with GC Busan, like, came into the scene, great Winston player, brought that into the 2018 season. And coming into the playoffs, like, he had one of the best Orisas in the entire world. Like, the way he synced up with the Dragon Strikes, with Hanzo, the Roadhog Hooks, etc. Like, he was fantastic on that hero when it came out. And so he was clutch for his Winston play that we remember the most about Gesture. He had a great Orisa and helped Lona Spitfire to win a championship. And then to top it off, like, his tenure on Seoul Dynasty, May Melee, he had a bit of a resurgence on Winston. I think we forget that sometimes, that at the start of the season, yes, we wanted to see Marvel in the main tank spot, and we were tired of this Prophet and Gesture duo just, like, coming in wherever they go and just taking things over. But he had a pretty good Winston this late in his career. And to top it off, like, the 2021 playoffs, his Roadhog was what helped Seoul Dynasty to reach a grand final that no one expected them to do. They had a late resurgence once more, similar to the Lone Spitfire in 2018, because Gesture brought that fantastic Roadhog play to the Seoul Dynasty. So I got to give him credit to that. He had a great Winston, great Orisa, and a fantastic Roadhog, and he helped his team at very crucial moments and has a good achievement list because of it.
I wouldn't have put him higher than Mono just because of, like, Mono's consistency throughout all of time. I think Gesture's had some, like, really high highs, but also some pretty embarrassing lows.
Sure, but I mean, if you
lows,
look at the list,
but
Gesture won an old champions, Overwatch League championship, and he got second place with Seoul. Mono never even reached the grand finals. So that's a way, one way you can look at it.
Yeah, I mean, that is one of the ways that I looked at it. I've got to tell you, I had Gesture higher than Mono, and two places higher than Mono. There's someone in between.
What?
There's someone in between.
I had Gesture at sixth on mine.
I had Gesture at sixth as well. I think Gesture, and honestly, if I was being serious with myself, I could have potentially put him one spot lower, but he did have enough impact to where I'm like, yeah, I'm going to give him six. But this is a main tank list, not a tank list. The man's best recent season was not playing main tank. It was playing Roadhog.
That is a main tank. Like, it was the main tank.
At the time, he was the main tank.
But the thing is, we had players. But the thing is, it wasn't a main tank, though, because we had plenty of off-tank players just playing Roadhog for teams. Main tank players just weren't playing it. It was just off. There was plenty of off-tank players just playing it, or the DPS players even, like Decay. It was not a main tank. It's not a main tank. It's historically not been a main tank. In 2021, it wasn't a main tank. It wasn't a main tank. It's a tank. It's a tank. It's not a main tank. So that's why it loses roles. But he is silly as fuck. He is silly as fuck. And his
play five on five is going to be great because we don't have to make a difference between who's an off tank and who's a main tank.
There's
just a tank.
To Overwatch 2, Gesture would be, legitimately, Gesture would be in my top five if we were going to maybe even top three for, like, tank players going into Overwatch 2. Potentially, but not, I'm not sure. But, like, I'm just saying that, like, you know that he can play other stuff.
Yes, yeah.
But this is a main tank list of Overwatch 1, and his best performances outside of 2018 were not on main tank. It was on Roadhog. So I'm just
I love Kurt's fucking laugh in the background to kill it. We need just, like, a Kurt laugh track, but when Kurt wants to laugh, he can just hit a button. So
I just find Avast's setup so funny. Like, beyond him just looking like he's in a closet.
Yeah.
He doesn't have an Ethernet cable. His internet isn't good. His mic is
I do have an Ethernet cable, Kurt. I do have an Ethernet cable.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I do. But
did
right now,
did you plug
it
into a USB port?
No, right now it's not active because the internet, for some reason, the router that runs that particular network is down. So I have to be back on Wi-Fi. Again.
I feel like with a Avast, like, you know, we ask for visitation and we're speaking to him in prison through the glass. Like, he's only got a few minutes, or maybe we, like, slip him a payphone under the counter. You
the
know?
Real reason we're hurrying up the show.
Yeah, he's got his parole officer to his right.
Okay, so
who is that?
Let's take a look at number four then. We've got Gesture at five,
this is the worst.
Mono sixth. Here we go, number four. Greatest of all time, main tank list. Number four is Smurf!
Yeah,
A fan favorite player whose Winston cannot be underestimated. One of the key drivers of the Shock success.
Oh, this is so wrong.
Avast, talk to me about Smurf.
I had him higher than this. I had him higher than this. But I think four, considering the rest of our list and that we're cracked up and coked up and, you know, opioided up here, like whatever else is going on, like four makes sense of whatever the fuck is happening in our collated list. But I had him a little bit higher. I think Smurf, it's hard to not talk about how great he is. His Winston was beautiful. It was like Bernini. It was like a Bernini level Winston here. When you see this guy, he was doing shit you never seen before on the Winston when he first entered, and it was all great. His other roles were pretty solid. What his other, like, he could play Reinhardt okay-ish, not, but also he's competing against Super. His Orisa was very good. His ball was okay-ish. Like, I think really the things that defined Smurf as a player was how great his Winston was coming into the league, but he did have decent flexibility. And because of how good he was on Winston combined with like a relatively good flexibility, it definitely propelled him to the top of this list in eras of Overwatch League that were really, really hard, when he just seemed head and shoulders above a lot of people. And it's someone that kind of made their mark on Overwatch League just because of how good he was on Winston. And like I said, his like pretty decent mechanics on everything else.
Did people have him higher?
Bro, I was thinking about putting him number one, man.
Really? I mean, Smurf's, he's like, I had him three.
Smurf's insane, three. And he's part of a team that won the back-to-back championships, man. If you're not considering him for a top three spot, you're off the goop, in my opinion.
I would like
fifth.
To.
I had him fifth. I had Mono. Apologize. I had Mono ahead of Smurf.
No, you didn't.
You guys are doing Smurf a little dirty. Like, I don't think he's. I personally don't think Smurf's John, John number one or two. Just, but three is pretty fair for Smurf. I think.
Oh,
I don't think Smurf has enough flexibility.
I had him fifth. I had him fifth. Top five is good.
No, he's a mega well-rounded. He's a really well-rounded main tank on a team that won two championships, and he's got a decently long career. Played for significant portions of most of the years. 2019 played not as much, but like the dude's got reasons to put him at the top of a list.
He's
like
he's making a decent point. Main tank player, for sure.
Holy shit!
Top five is good though. Top five is good.
I am part of the reason why Smurf is so low, and I'd like to formally apologize to the entire San Francisco Shock community. I would have liked to prior to the episode fix this.
Where'd
but
you have him?
The points had already been accumulated, and I'm very sorry. Smurf definitely deserves to be in the top three for the reasons Josh listed. Incredibly well-rounded.
So where did you have him?
I around your spot.
No, where did you have him?
Sorry, he deserves
where'd
to be in the
have
top
him?
Three.
I admitted I had him fifth.
Take a look at it later.
Ah, come on, don't the be a child. Okay. Tell us what.
I'm so sorry. He deserves to be top three. And oh, look, okay, I admit it. Okay, it was a mistake. I'm sorry. He deserves to be top three.
I don't agree. I think fifth is fine.
So mad at us now because I've already pissed them off with Violet.
And tell us where you had him, Johnny. Don't be a baby.
I put him at number six, but he deserves to be top three.
Whoa!
He deserves to be top three. I'm sorry,
That is even worse than me.
Did you have gesture above him?
Yes. But
that is horrible.
I would like to fix it. How do I fix this, Saito? How do I fix it?
You can't. We've all fucked up. It's all right.
I wanted to be top three.
Okay. Wait, you had gesture above Smurf? I didn't have that. That's, I mean, that's insane.
Okay. Okay. If you compare it to some of the number one and two, the reason why I wouldn't put Smurf number one and two is because he didn't quite see as much playtime as Super. I think Smurf stood out most specifically for his 2026.
Yeah, he fixed his internet. Yeah, USB cable into the Ethernet's not working too well.
For his 2020 season. But I went back and looked, okay? I went back and looked at the play time because I wanted to have an idea of like how much Super played and how much Smurf played.
Yeah.
In 2019, Super played all of the stages. Stage one, stage two, stage three. Because it was a GOATS meta, right? It makes sense. Super played all of the Reinhardt. Going into the playoffs, that is where Smurf's Orisa really stood out. So in the 2019 playoffs, Smurf played 26 maps. Super played one map in the 2019 playoffs. And then in the 2020 season, that's where I think Smurf got most of his play time. But once more in the 2021 season, Shock, they didn't go to any stage playoffs. They didn't go to Hawaii a single time. And come the playoffs, Super dominated most of the play time for that team. So Smurf, he didn't see a ton of time in the 2019 season, and he didn't see a ton of time in the 2021 playoffs either. So he did play a lot of regular season games. He had a good 2020 season, but they split time with Super and Smurf in the 2020 playoffs as well. I look back at the 2020 playoffs, and I remember Super playing a lot of Roadhog.
Yeah,
Smurf particularly playing most of the Winston and the Wrecking Ball in that series. And I think Roadhog, similar to Gesture, Roadhog was a defining pick.
Johnny, you don't have to bend to the other people.
Roadhog was a defining pick of that 2020 playoffs. And so I had to give, once more, Super a little bit of bonus points there for contributing to the championships they won.
I agree with you. I had Super above Smurf on my list. But when I'm telling you that I was thinking about putting Smurf number one, I might be giving away who I actually put number one. Let's take a look at our number three. Let's take a look at the number three.
Number three had one more point.
Number three had one extra point. So wait, there was one point between Mano Gesture and there's one point between Smurf and Fearless.
No, Fearless.
Oh my God.
Wait, who had Fearless?
Okay, wait there. Let's talk about Fearless before we mold about the number two pick. Okay, number three, Fearless. Bren says, back-to-back tank role star for 2020 and 2021. On top of having one of the greatest comeback stories in Overwatch history. Obviously, an insane story. I about actually had him at the number three position here, but for different reasons, I'm sure, to our actual list. But he was just a nasty good main tank throughout 2020 and 2021. I mean, he had the best Winston throughout both of those seasons. And then his Rein often gets overlooked as well, but his Rein was really good during that period of time too. To me, he's an obvious elite talent, but doesn't quite have the breadth or the accomplishments of some of the other people that I would be putting at like number one, number two, that kind of thing.
Well, I think we got the top three right. I'm a bit shocked that this. I had Fearless number two.
That's insane, dude. That's crazy. I'm sorry. No, that is
that's
insane.
Crazy. That's fine.
Crazy. Crazy, okay.
What's wrong with that?
Here's what's wrong with that. Okay, I agree with Sideshow. Fantastic, Winston. Amazing Reinhardt. That being said, okay, you want to look at some of the negatives? I'll be the Debbie Downer, okay? I'll bring up the bad stuff, okay? He didn't make an Overwatch League finals. He went to Shanghai in 2020, amazing year, but they only got third in the 2020 playoffs. Dallas Fuel didn't make the finals of the 2021 season. Dallas Fuel in 2021, they were held back for half the season because he couldn't play Wrecking Ball and he couldn't adapt. So yeah, fantastic Winston and Reinhardt. Completely agree. Roll star. Loved watching him play Winston and Reinhardt as much as you guys. Didn't have the flexibility of some of the other top five candidates here.
Yeah. Mm. You can't be top three main tank player, in my opinion, if you're not flexible on every hero.
So wait, you didn't have him in the top three?
No,
I had him number five.
There's no way that that's true, though. There's no way you actually think that, because the players that are going to be higher on the list or even comparable on the list still have gaps in terms of their pool, in terms of what they're great at.
They have gaps, but they're all perfect. But they have gaps, but they can all play everything at a very high level still.
We just put Smurf. He didn't play like any Ryan.
Okay, by the end of the 2021 season, what can Fearless not play at a high level?
I mean, I think at this point, I think at this point, high level to me means sort of like championship level. And I don't think he can compete at every one of like all those other tanks. Ball and Orisa and stuff. His Ryan's pretty good though.
The Orisa specifically, all right? Fearless has had gaps with that. He doesn't tend to play it. The teams that he's on don't thrive in those kind of situations. I'll give you that one. By the end of the season though, his ball was perfectly competent.
By the end of the season.
Way above
like
average.
3 months actually, were two stages. He couldn't play it.
Who the fuck else was good, was like at the same level on ball towards the end? There was only like two players that were genuinely elite on ball for the whole season. So it's an unfair measuring stick to say a top player if you're not.
I think he could squeak into the top three. I'm just saying that personally, based off the fact that he kind of, now granted, his ball didn't improve a lot, but I think overall he cost them a season for it. And because they couldn't play it for a lot, it didn't cost them a season, but it hurt them. And then his Orisa still has a huge gap. And I think his Ryan's really good, but I wouldn't still put it in like an absolute elite tier.
Oh, I think it was. I think the Ryan was absolutely elite.
I think his Ryan was amazing. I don't know if it was like, well, yeah, actually, that's fair.
Especially 2020 with Shanghai, whenever they would pull out the Rush stuff, they were slapping people around.
Well, either way, I had him at four, right? It was a tough call for me to put him between four or three. I still just don't believe that his current metrics put him in the top three spot because it's so fucking packed. But I guess I really shouldn't be that upset if someone put him in top three. I shouldn't be that mad. that.
And again, I think that, I mean, I put him at 5, greatest of all time. That is high for someone who spent 2 years in the Overwatch League and didn't really have a contender's career prior and didn't win an Overwatch League championship and wasn't in a grand finals for the Overwatch League. I think number 5 is a very respectable position.
Yeah.
Number 3 over some of these other guys who has longer careers, have been in those finals, even won championships. I think that's completely fair. He had 2 seasons in AL. He held back his team a bit because he couldn't play ball. Most of his dominance came from the APAC NA split, where like he competed against teams like Seoul Dynasty and Guangzhou, whereas like the other regions had Shock, Philly, like dominant teams. And like those stages don't matter as much as the stages where like the league were all together and like the top teams competed against top teams. Like it was a weaker region at the time. Shanghai were the only dominant team.
Yeah. I think overall, I think for my spot, I have him as 4 because the other people were just better overall across it, across like a variety of heroes, for in my opinion, other than Winston. Like his Winston was so good. His overall mechanics were great. If you put him in top 3, I actually shouldn't be mad. But I think 4 is also, for my placing, an extremely fair spot for someone that hurt his team because of lack of flexibility.
Dallas fans are mauling so bad right now.
Dallas fans, I had him up here. Don't worry.
I think the 4-3 spot is reasonable. I had him at 4, but I think it's now, looking back after my initial reaction, it's reasonable.
So. Yeah,
nobody had Miro in the top 10.
No
one had Miro in the top 10 because we only have one Overwatch boomer on the podcast right now. With
all Bonnie. Right, well, we have 2 spots left.
Oh fuck!
I feel like this is going to be just. I feel like Bren sabotaged us here for some reason.
Number 2 in our greatest of all time main tanks list for Overwatch 1. Is Fate. Whoa. Most recently with the Shanghai Dragons. His reinforces, quote, longevity, consistency, leadership, and game-changing versatility. Fate has had it all in his career. He is, quote, the perfect main tank.
But he's number 2.
What a... Kurt, what was the separation between this and number 1?
Can't look while the video is playing because it's on that screen.
Jonathan, say your piece. Why? I assume you had him at number 1. If you say
he's
the perfect main tank,
yes. I had him at number one. Yes, yeah. Reluctantly so, because like I think Fate is a bit of a villain too. You know, I mean, maybe it's because of the drama surrounding the 2019 Valiant, but I had to put him at number 1. I mean, as I said, like I think he is the perfect main tank. He can play Reinhardt at a really high level, despite the fact that they struggled a little bit in the 2019 season. His Winston was amazing, like at the around the time of like 2017, 2018. He was the next generation of Winston players after Miro, in my opinion. I remember like when I found out about Fate, I was still playing at the time, and like I found out about Fate and I watched some of his streams, and like the shit he was doing on Winston was like mind-blowing. It really was the next level. And so I think he innovated in that case, and I think he came into the 2018 Valiant, 2019, and like was a really good main tank, was like one of the best main tanks in the entire league. Went over to the Florida Mayhem after the Valiant drama, and he legitimately like helped that team out so much. He brought a leadership presence to that team, and Florida Mayhem had like a legitimately really good 2020 season because of that. Joined the 2021 Shanghai Dragons. He changed the game with his Wrecking Ball in the June Joust. I mean, no one said it would work. Everyone was just like, why are they playing Wrecking Ball? It's not going to work. You're not going to beat Dallas this way. And then they did it because it was the magic of Fate. I think he's had 4 really good years in the Overwatch League, and he was even like still good on the Valiant and Mighty OD, the Immortals and Mighty OD prior to the Overwatch League. Incredible flexibility, leadership. He has it all. He's the perfect main tank, in my opinion.
I think anyone who's putting him in the top 3 is off the goop.
What?
You guys realize this is a greatest of all time ranking, not a who won the 2021 season ranking, right?
But it's not just about that. His time of Mayhem was amazing.
His time of Valiant
was great. His pre-Overwatch League was great.
Have you guys just forgotten the bad seasons where Fate looked kind of poor and was leading his team down terrible pathways?
We did think he was washed.
He had some it was peppered with not just bad years, but like, what the fuck is he doing kind of years. And his prior Overwatch League was not even good when you're comparing it to people like Mano or Gesture. These kind of people, or Fissure. I mean, he's not even on the fucking level of those guys when you're talking about pre-Overwatch stuff. He like won a tier 2 tournament with Immortals or something. That's about the peak of it. He got grouped as Mighty AOD. Like, dude.
That was a tough group.
That was a tough group. That's what all the Rogue fans said as well. Bro... Yeah, yes, it was a tough group, but the guy has one season of excellence, and then he has a few seasons.
No, I don't think that's one.
Okay.
I think this is extremely revisionist.
Okay, what is it? Okay, 2021 is a season of excellence for Fate. No arguments there. On the Wrecking Ball specifically, and we'll get back to the fact that you were talking so much about the other heroes, but on the Wrecking Ball, absolutely. What is the other year of excellence for Fate?
2018, it was a great Winston in 2018.
2018, Winston was good.
Excellence. He won one stage final.
But it's not. I think this is
they came second in the regular season, and he was the largest contributor to that.
I don't care about
the second most regular season wins in a 40-game season.
Dude, yeah. I don't think it was a year of excellence from
it's
Fate.
Also, why,
I don't
why
think
are we
he was even. I mean,
the
best main tank of 2018 would certainly have to be Mano, right? Do you have him as top two, top three? I mean, he was probably somewhere around the third or fourth best main tank in the league, from what I can remember, in 2018, which is good, but man, that's not enough to put you in number one of the greatest of all time list.
But the thing is, every year since then to 2018, he's looked better.
No, he hasn't. 2019 was not better than 2018 for Fate, and 2020 was like... Okay, maybe he's got it back somewhat. 2021 was, to me, a massive return from Fate.
Really,
like,
you think
2020
was like, was he's got it back somewhat? I thought 2020 was a crazy good year for him. Was like an
I wouldn't say it was
year.
Crazy good. Like he was definitely good
was
in 2020. And I don't think a lot of main tanks could step into that position at the 2020 floor for that mayhem and like repeat what Fed did.
How
he contributed to that
team.
And
also every year he showed that his flexibility, his hero pool is just like good. Like his hero pool
is good. He's incredibly well-rounded, but he's not... I mean, even in the 2021 season, right, where he wins the Overwatch League, it's all on Wrecking Ball. You can't be telling me that he won because his Winston was better than the rest or his Ryan was better than the rest or anything like that. It was 90% of what he was doing was Wrecking Ball. And that's fantastic. He was the best Wrecking Ball easily. And that's part of how he like changed the game for the Dragons, right? In some sense, he won that the tournament and changed the direction of where the meta was going because he was that good on it. That deserves mega props for the 2021 performance. But I don't think that... Even if I'm thinking across his entire year, he's never been the best on anything else at any other point in his career. That's the only year where he's been the best at anything.
I think part of the reason why he started playing so much Wrecking Ball this season was just like they made May Melee. They made that finals against the Dallas Fuel. And I think at some point they recognized that like we can't beat Dallas Fuel at their own style. And so he forced this adaptation to play more Wrecking Ball because that was the way that Shanghai were to defeat him. Like, in any way, I have to give him some credit for that, for building up that, like, trusting that idea and following through with it and eventually beating Dallas Fuel. That was that is one of the most epic storylines, like, how he utilized the Wrecking Ball to defeat that Dallas Fuel team because they looked immortal at that point. They looked unstoppable, that Dallas Fuel squad. And they committed to this idea of the Wrecking Ball and Fate. I mean, it wasn't him alone on Wrecking Ball that, like, won that series. It was everyone. Those were some of the best matches in Overwatch League history. But, like, Fate's persistence to keep playing the Wrecking Ball. I mean, that was an idea he pursued and they executed it. And that was part of the reason why they won.
Yeah, no.
After listening to both sides,
you know,
I think
they would have made the playoffs and stuff, the stage playoffs with that Winston play.
I had him at 3 after hearing these arguments. I somewhat agree with Josh that maybe it was
very few of these tanks. We're like, it's almost none of these tanks were ever the best at what they did in more than one role. Why is it Fate that gets extra flack for only being the best at Wrecking Ball at one role? Fearless is only the best at Winston. He wasn't the best at Ryan. Like, Fearless wasn't the best at Orisa. Okay. Like, all neither was, like, very few of these tank players were ever the best at one thing. Fearless, Fate is amazing. He was the best at Wrecking Ball. But he was also been consistently, in my opinion, top 3 to 4 at every other main tank. And he's been able... In my opinion,
consistently, I feel like he's had
he's had some downturns, but the difference is that this is a player that I feel like you could always slot into any team and he'd put up top tier performances and then have a year and the hardest year of Overwatch League, arguably, where he was the best in a role. And to argue, because like, and once again, I don't really care what his teams did in the past, or what they won and didn't win. It's why I don't give a shit about what other main tank teams won or what other players like. It's not about winning, it's about the player. It's about the player's contribution in that team. And like, sure, you could be the greatest, but if your team sucks ass, you're not gonna win. Like, that's just how it works, right? Like, is Fleta bad because his teams were bad before? Like, that's just not, like, how the conversations for players work, I think.
Sure, so, but also, that's why I do give Fate incredible credit for 2021, because he contributed massively to the success in that situation. And if you're giving Fate massive leadership credit, then I can understand how he would sneak into your top three for, like, 2020. Because he took a team that, you know, I mean, they're still a fairly talented team. But yeah, he did take them and... If you're giving him massive credit for leading that entire Mayhem squad and giving him outsized impact, because to me, the Fate's actual in-game performance was nowhere near the reason why they did well in 2020. He had some portion of it, but it's not even close to 2021 on the Shanghai Dragons. It's not even the same argument. But if you're giving him massive credit for his leadership component on Mayhem, then I can understand why you would be, you know, so heavy on that 2020 season. But yeah, I think there's a lot of players that have had the same situation as Fate, where they've been the best in the world for a year on something, and they've ended up on our list somewhere around like 5th, 6th, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so. I mean, speaking to my evaluation model, and again, it's like not perfect, you know, like I fucked up with Smurf, you know, and like I made some pretty grievous mistakes in my list, but one of the things I respected about Fate, which is like his sheer consistency across pretty much the entirety of Overwatch League, the way I saw him innovate on Winston in 2017. And like, you look at some of these other guys, and like Fearless, he had 2 seasons in the Overwatch League. Gesture, he fell off towards the 2020 and 2021 season. So they had like 3 years there somewhere. Mono again fell off. Like, I think Mono's year this year in Philadelphia Fusion, it was like average. Like, it wasn't fantastic. It was not the Mono of old. And again, Mono's 2020 season, like, you know, there was some nostalgia there, but like, again, it wasn't top tier elite. Whereas Fate, he's had consistent, great performances in my mind across very many years. And I think from a main tank perspective, in my evaluation of main tanks, that is kind of what you want. And I think a lot of these other main tanks, they have like 2 good years, maybe 3 good years, whereas Fate has been consistent, great in my mind.
Who is number one?
Let's take a look at number one.
I mean, I know who it is.
You have to know who it is. There's only one player that we haven't mentioned at the moment that's a lock for this list. Let's take a look at our number one on the greatest of all time main tanks list. It is Super.
Yeah.
The two-time, the back-to-back, the best Reinhardt to grace the game, a nasty hog, and a core part of the identity of the Shock, says Sideshow. I mean, essentially there, I've gone through some of the reasons. I think the San Francisco Shock and the ability to be able to win those 2 championships was primarily based around the, or not primarily, but the core of it, the backbone of it, was the way in which they had this identity built around their tank line. I think especially for 2019, but also for the 2020 season, especially like the deeper you got towards it and the playoffs, it's Super. It's Super that's crafted this identity for the Shock in terms of how he plays. And obviously, you know, you've got the Ryan, but the Hog to me is a big component of that too, because it was played by most of the main tanks at the time towards those end of the playoffs. And I think that you have to give him credit for having that level of flexibility to his game. Plus, when he's been required to play the other roles, like his Winston and his Ball, they've been good. But the ability to get your team the winning identity, I'm putting a lot of stock in here for why I've got Super that high on the list.
Even when he plays some of those other tanks that you mentioned, I think like he's probably better than what people think on those roles.
Oh,
but
I
think just his Reinhardt, I mean, was so great for the Shock. And then, yeah, like he's a huge reason why. Like when I think of the Shock and like their kind of personality and like kind of like what set the tone for this team to win, I think it's really like kind of it starts like with Super and just how he acts, like confidence wise, leadership wise. But then obviously he's a tremendous player in game as well.
Yeah, I also think that for Super, people forget just like how I actually had Super at number two, and I'm not even mad that he's number one. I think this is like you. There's a lot of different metrics to evaluate. Like I said, the off tank metric, like the flexibility metric, I personally don't love it in like specifically looking at off tank is like where the main tank stands. But in terms of the flexibility, he is the most flexible main tank. He is someone that you can put him on everything, and it's part of the reason why Smurf did not get as much play time towards the end of some of these seasons was because of Super's flexibility. And if we were this is a list for like the best main tank in Overwatch 2, Super would be number one.
Like Super, yeah, would I would agree on that.
The best tank player going into Overwatch 2, it would be Super. Like, you'd want him on your team. But his people just forget that, like, yeah, his Winston didn't look great in 2018, but that's because his team was awful and he didn't have a lot of time to integrate with it. And the only reason he didn't get to play a lot of Winston in like 2020, let's say, is because Smurf was arguably the best Winston in the league in 2020. So if you're playing against someone that's literally the best in their role, it's hard. But and he's also been the best in his role by far on Ryan, and he has really, really great performances as seen in 2021. And before that, on other heroes like Orisa, Hog, Ball, even like his, I thought his Ball was better than Smurf's. And on top of all this, he's like Fate to me in that he's a very central component to his team every single time. Like it's part of why I give both of these players a lot of credit is that not only are they really flexible, but they're extremely important. The focus, like the focal point of their team, like they are the caller. They're someone that helps set the pace. They're just integral. They're just absolutely integral to have them in. So I'm not mad seeing Super number one here because I struggled pretty heavily with it, but I felt like Fate was just an overall slightly more complete main tank in mind, but realistically Super is arguably way more flexible than him. So
yeah, I agree with everything you guys said. I think Super has always contributed when it mattered for the San Francisco Shock. I think if you look at Smurf, the tournaments he's contributed most was during the 2019 playoffs with the Orisa gameplay, and then also the 2020 Countdown Cup, Smurf playing the Winston in that like Genji meta. I think it was Genji, Rascal played the Genji, etc. That's where Smurf has contributed the most. But apart from that, I think Super played a very central role to this team. Fantastic Reinhardt in 2019, was the best Reinhardt in 2019. And he has that flexibility, the Roadhog, etc. Yeah, I agree on all the points. I had Super number two, of course, because I had Fate number one, but I mean, yeah.
It's an interesting for these rankings when you have a team like the Shock that have won back-to-back championships, because it feels like our top picks primarily get plucked from either Shock or Shanghai. I mean, for good reason, not just because they've won, but because they were good enough to win. I mean, you have to be good in order to win, so you're more likely to be at the top of a list like this. But for this role in particular, for the tanks, I found myself going much more towards the Shock players than in some of our previous lists. And I think part of the reason for that is that the Shock kept their same tank line season after season after season and still put up really consistent results in the sense that they won, and then, you know, the 2021 season, they can't quite get it going, but still had flashes of that brilliance. So even though they split playtime to me, they both end up being in the absolute elite in my head. And that what I think is so interesting about the Shock main tank stuff too is the fact that they had both of them on the roster, you would expect to detract because you're like, oh, well, you know, you can't tell that Super's that good on Winston or Smurf's Ryan must be shit or something like that. But I feel like actually the fact that they are both playing together ends up making each of them shine even brighter because they get played primarily where they can have that insane level of success. So the actual matches, if you go back and watch the matches of Super or Smurf, the match data seems to indicate like you just watch them and they're most of the time they're fucking pounding because the coach has put them in the great position to succeed because they have that alternation between the two of them. Whereas if you think about some of the other players that we've talked about on this list, they don't have that ability to play when they're at their best.
Yeah, it's going to be incredibly interesting. One of my favorite storylines this upcoming year is going to be how Smurf does with Seoul Dynasty. when these two tanks have like separated. Yeah. Obviously, we're all high on Super going into Overwatch 2 because of the flexibility we mentioned. But I think Smurf is the even more intriguing storyline because now he doesn't have Super's Reinhardt to lean on, the leadership skills that we know that Super have and possesses in those crucial moments for the shock. How is Smurf going to build his story for himself about his story outside of the San Francisco shock, having Super next to him? So, yeah, it's going to be very interesting to finally get some answers to these questions we have when we talk about the shock's previous two tanks.
Mm. Well, that does it for our main tank list. The comments will be lit up with just
happiness,
criticism, hate, happiness, molding, all of the above. We normally look through some of the personal lists at this point, don't we?
Oh, man.
All right, so this is the collection. Now, the name that's at the 11th spot here did feature in my top 10, and I wanted to have a conversation about this.
No way.
I had Bumper 10th, yeah.
Are off the fucking goop. That is shameful.
I basically swapped Bumper and Fissure. Because Bumper to me, I mean, not even to me, Bumper actually did have a longer span of playing at a top level than Fissure did because Fissure hopped from team to team so often. So
I had him
at ninth with Gaga still at 10th.
You do realize he was mostly playing off tank for Runaway.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't in 2018 and 2019. He was playing main tank.
That team for some time was playing Janu main tank and Bumper off tank.
Yeah, that was like 2017. That was earlier on in the year. That was like 2017.
I should add Gator on my list. I fucked up on that one.
Yeah.
That is a little... I mean, I personally find Bumper to be controversial just because I his pre-Overwatch League days, he hopped around the roles a lot, which is like not like a ton, but a decent amount to where like how much of this was really like main tank dominance. And then when you take a look at his time in the Overwatch League, he primarily played one hero and one hero only. And he looked like he was a contention for the best for it, but also he was with the best team. And I would argue that Super still looked better than him the whole year. So like even like just on an individual level, I don't know. Bumper to me is controversial. I actually ended up having Gator on my 10th.
Yeah, if I could go back, I would have put Gator 10th.
I had Gator 10th.
Bumper is a glorified Fraggy. And you guys,
yeah,
you
I guys don't think, but I think Bumper this. Was a little too one-dimensional to make a top 10 list. But I will admit that because he did so well in 2019, if you're that dominant in a season, it's not unfair to consider them in the top 10. But I think he was a little too one-dimensional, like as a main tank player, to be a top 10 main tank.
Bumper's just funny as well because there's half of the community that swear that he's like a nasty good Reinhardt, and half of the community that swear he's like an unbelievable feeder that's just being kept alive by Twilight. I find all of that discussion very interesting.
Yeah, I feel bad missing on Gator now. I just completely just blanked.
I mean, Gator didn't have. I mean, he's got a great contenders year and a pretty good 2021, but 2020 was not good for Gator. So
his 2020 was good, actually. His team wasn't good.
I don't think Gator was good, though. I don't think Gator
was
good.
Yes, his
Orisa
was fantastic during 2020. I feel like this is another case of like the team itself was not good, so we're misrepresenting the player's like impact on the team. Gator was like one of the only reasons that team ever had any like any cohesive at all at points was because of how well they played around him. And the thing is, the reason Gator literally can't go higher is A, not enough time in the league, but B, his hero pool's not good enough. Realistically, his hero pool is not good enough to go any higher than 10th because he's primarily can only play Ryan and Orisa as his two best heroes. His Winston is okay, and his balls, ugh. But like his Ryan and Orisa play are really, really good. Like I think they were always central points for the Atlanta Reign, and like his team wasn't good, but his play I felt was really fantastic.
Okay, wait there. I'm looking at our overall list. Where have the 3 points for Kaiser come from?
I didn't put Kaiser. That is Brennan Kaiser at 13.
Stand one.
I think stand one is not an awful shout for like a player that can be in top 15, you know, like somewhere in there. But I don't think he should be.
Had Miro at 9.
He's like Miro next to Fissure. And Miro's above Amon and Fissure. Mono's an 8th, which is... what is going on there?
I had Miro above some decent players as well. But not
that's crazy.
I mean,
not in the
okay. Should we address the Miro point?
He doesn't even have. have a 14 and 15. That's the only thing. Where is this 14 and 15?
He just didn't submit one.
I have Miro.
Jonathan, talk about Miro then. Tell me about Miro. Okay. Why didn't he make the list? He's a legend. He invented the way that Winston was played.
He invented one way to play Winston, and that is a crucial point. When no one knew how to play Winston in a proper way, Lunatic High, they came around late 2016 and started having him like as a big flanker. He was pocketed by Ri-J Hong. He was just jumping down, up and down, and flanking supports and getting pocketed by Ri-J Hong. That communication was key. So I think part of that success, you actually have the credit to Ri-J Hong and how he pocketed Miro. Part of that is, of course, Miro discovering that kind of playstyle and forcing it onto other teams. He had great primal rage mechanics before anyone else really built those mechanics, like the impact he had with Winston at the time. But like, there was a team when for the longest time, Miro was the second tank, or not the longest time, for a very short time, he was the second tank on Lunatic High, because Dean was the Reinhardt player for that team, and he was the more versatile one. So let's not talk about like Miro's versatility and flexibility here, like he was some kind of main tank god at the time. No, he revolutionized the way you play Winston, and he should be remembered for that. But he very quickly faded out of the scene when his style didn't really work anymore, and they had to replace him with Ri-J Hong playing Winston.
You definitely lose points team in 2018. When
so he had one good happened. Year playing one style of Winston. We're very thankful that he brought us those highlights and he discovered a way to play Winston that way. But he wasn't some kind of versatile.
This is personal for Johnny.
Yeah, this Winston is very
personal for Johnny.
You got OG and Mag down there at 14th and 15th.
I don't give a fuck about 14th and 15th. I mean, I might as well put Smite, no Smite there.
I appreciate that.
I had Gaga 14. Oh wait, this is my other list. I had Smooch, Fraggy, Roshan, Silver 3, Nox, all ahead of Reinforce. I had all those. I had all those things ahead of Reinforce. Yeah. I had all those things ahead of Johnny.
Invite him to this podcast.
So wow,
this is my fake list.
This is his real list.
I actually had a real
list. Okay.
I just wanted to thank God for Johnny. Where Silver 3, Roshan, Nox, all above Johnny.
God, that is just a who's who of old school main tanks.
That is some gangster shit right there. I mean. From 10 down, that's a pretty accurate representation of skill, I think. Of, you know,
Silver 3.
Wow. Yeah. I would say, you know, if we were to put Reinforce on a list, he probably would be behind Nox, Silver 3, Roshan, Fraggy.
No. I think I'd be like 22nd or something.
And Swoosh, you forgot. Swoosh. Swoosh has to be higher because he replaced him, right?
Of course. That makes sense. Of course.
Holy Christ.
I was thinking that was my actual
I
list.
Thought, well, the thing is, I totally could believe that was your list. Is the thing. I would have believed it. I screamed so loud that my boss came and opened the door and, like, checked on me. Like, people were upset in the office.
No. That's my actual list.
I found it really weird that, or not weird, but I found it interesting, Johnny, that you had Gamsu at number 10. Because
yeah,
I Gamsu's felt like
cool to talk
he was
about.
a very good player, but I feel like he didn't have enough season three, he had a really good like wrecking ball performance, but outside of that, like his Winston for Boston,
he got Shanghai their first win, right?
It was good, it was serviceable. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say that Gamsu was like revolutionary to the game and he was like a fantastic main tank. I don't think it's unfair.
I don't think it's
like
unfair to have him there.
I don't think he necessarily like lost his team's games, you know. He had a good Winston in 2018. People forget that Boston Uprising season, you know, like they went
perfect
they had
stage.
A win streak in stage three, you know, they went 10-0 or something like that. Like Gamsu was the primary main tank for the team, and again, 2019 Shanghai Dragons, his wrecking ball helped them in stage three, defeating some of these Goats teams. And you know, Goats was on his way out at that time because of all the nerfs that really hit that strategy. But again, like Gamsu, he had some decent 2017 year as well. Was it on Convox Spirit or something like that? Contributed to Boston and Shanghai. So he was a serviceable main tank with a pretty long tenure compared to some of these other
guys. Also a good in-game leader.
He's a legend as well.
What did you say, Avast?
As someone that worked with him, he was a very good presence for a team in the server as well. He's like a very common veteran. He's one of the few people in esports because he was like been around for a while that he just had his shit together. Like, he just had his shit together. Like, overall, like, he's like, you show up and he'd be cooking meals and going to bed at a reasonable time. And, like, he just, like, he knew how to pay taxes. Like, he was like, just,
father
he was,
figure
he got
for
his shit
you.
Together.
I did a video with him.
Didn't
matter for me.
I didn't play. Cool. I didn't need his input, so it didn't matter. I didn't need.
You gave input on his cooking. That was what you did.
He was just making sure the checks cleared. He was hanging out. Where's blue jersey? Make sure the direct deposit goes through. That was.
Okay. Well, I imagine that's going to stir up some controversy
Here I am. This is me and Axis Grams, dude. This is our homies.
Oh, yeah, that was you and Grams rolling around.
Comment, look at me go.
Just rolling around in a car. Where were you driving, by the way? Did you just drive in circles?
Is this just near the studio?
Kinda. Look at this. Pick these boys up, yo, sup. Get the whip.
Wait, man, who's that? Who's that in the car with him?
That was Coma.
Oh, it's Coma.
You went hiking with Gamsu's dog or something?
Well, not really like a lot of hiking. We just kind of like walked around a little bit.
I didn't expect this, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, this place, Bronson Canyon. That's where we went.
Uni. All right, the link sponsors.
Apparently Uni shat everywhere all the time. I don't know.
I don't remember that from
you besmirch the happy memory of an Overwatch League dog? People are like, oh, Uni, so cute. It's so nice the way the Gamsu's got this dog.
All we need to do. Likes.
And you're just like, he shits everywhere. Fucking.
We need to make a list.
This is cave.
I don't know what
is
we're doing.
Is this where they buried Coma and Luffy? Is that why they didn't come back after 2019?
They're not.
No, we don't talk about that. Nah, that was where they filmed Batman. That was the Batcave.
Oh, I see.
I think. They may have just made that up.
It sounds like you just made that up. Like, it was just a cave. It's like, that's definitely where the Batcave.
That's probably what I told Gamsu and Coma just to make it sound cool, but they probably just took us to some fucking cave.
All right, well, I think that wraps us for this episode.
What we need to do? We need to make a top 10 list on top 10 like Overwatch 1 like memes. Like throughout. Like,
some of them
the
would be too. Have you seen the have you seen the iceberg meme where it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper? It's just the most cursed moments ever from Overwatch. We'd have to stick very firmly to the top of the iceberg. Bottom of the iceberg's not. No, we no go there anymore. All right. Well, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Next week, we will have the top list of DPS players. And that is going to be even more mold-inducing. I can feel it in my bones because it's going to be hyper, hyper competitive. So you'll have to stick around for that. In the meantime, let us know in the comments which one of us you hate the most because we fucked up your favorite player.
Yeah, remember, my name is Brennan Hook. Tweet me at BrenCass.
And we'll see you next week. All right. Bye.
Bye.